Well, this morning, I want us to focus on just one verse in Romans and chapter 7. So a change from how we've been looking at it in large sections. But I'd like us to look at Romans 7 and verse 12. Romans 7 and verse 12. And the scripture says, therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Psalm 119, that we've just read a part of together, it could be called a love song to the law of God. Perhaps not a love song as you might at first think of one, but you could call it a love song to the law of God. The law of God, meaning the commandments, the rules, the instructions that God has revealed to us and given to us today in the scriptures. And in that psalm, you heard a little bit of it in that section, but in that psalm, the writer, he professes his sincere and his passionate love for the law and commandments of God. He says, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. He says with enthusiasm, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. It's all I can think about. And he longs for God's law. He desires to be reading it and then doing it and then to see others keeping it. And he says he loves it more than gold or silver. That God's testimonies are wonderful. I opened my mouth and panted. He is hungry and thirsty. He longs for the commandments. Now, in Romans 7, you hear the Apostle Paul say the same thing. And he testifies that he loves God's law. He says in verse 22, in the same spirit as the psalmist, I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. This isn't just something I'm doing, you know, with my lips on the surface level, he says. In the inner man, in my heart, I delight in the law of God. It makes me so happy. And as it says in our verse 12, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Notice the law is holy, just and good. Paul is saying that as a Christian, present tense, to a Christian. The law of God is holy, it's special, it's heavenly, it's just and good, it's true and it's right, it's pure and it's beneficial. A Christian loves the law and commandments of God because it is holy, just and good. And this isn't an isolated verse or psalm. This runs throughout the whole of what we're told in the scriptures. God's law and commandments are praised. The law is all about love. The two greatest commandments are to love God with all your being and to love one another. And all the individual, specific commandments should be understood in the light of that. They're teaching us how to love. And the Bible also teaches that keeping the commandments is how to live a life that is pleasing to God. And it'll bring blessing to you. You want peace. You want to be near to God. You want his help day by day. The person who keeps the commandments will be fruitful. Even in suffering and loss, they will be helped and blessed by God. And a law-keeping life is a free and a happy life. Breaking God's commandments leads to misery. But what we've been seeing in the letter to the Romans is that some of those early Christians in Rome, they're very confused about the law of God. And if you remember what we've looked at, Paul is responding in this passage to a question about the law. Is the law sin? Is the law, are the commandments that God has given us a bad thing? And that question arises because so far in Romans, we've seen that The laws of God condemn all of us as sinners. We've all done what we know is wrong. And measured by the standards of God's holy law, we're all sinners. We're all guilty and fall short. We're all unrighteous. And then you remember that he says, even worse than that, our sinful nature within us, when we hear God's commands, it's provoked and it rises up against God's law. And it wants to sin against them. And so someone hearing all of this says, well, doesn't that mean that the law is a bad thing? If it says that we're all sinners and in a sense that the law provokes that sinfulness in us, is the law bad? Certainly not. Certainly not. The law is holy, just, and good. And a Christian loves God's commandments. All the fault is in us, not in his good and just and holy law. A Christian loves the commandments. Now, this is a really important truth to hold firmly, because today many Christians are confused about the law of God, like these Christians in Rome. Now perhaps the confusion is because the law and the commandments, they were first and primarily revealed in the Old Testament, before Christ has come. So someone might say, hang on a minute, aren't these things just part of the old system of the people of Israel? We don't have to keep the law like they did, do we? Or someone might say, well, look, we just have to worry about the commands in the New Testament that Jesus gives us, don't we? And that old stuff is all forgotten. Another reason there might be confusion is because the gospel teaches that we are saved from our sins by grace and not by the law. It's not about how well we keep the commandments. We don't earn and merit salvation. It is God's free gift to guilty sinners. We'll never be good enough by trying to keep the law. It's by grace. So does that mean that we don't need to worry about the law at all? I think you could also say that the idea of living by following God's commands, it goes against the grain and the spirit of the age. We live in a culture that prizes rebellion and individuality and freedom and independence, almost as if no one has the right to tell anyone else what to do. And so the idea of obeying God's laws might seem restrictive or oppressive. Well, what do we say to these things then? How and why should a Christian love the law? I hope I can say perhaps three thoughts so that you will leave here this morning loving God's law and commandments. The first thing is that a Christian loves God's law because it is permanent. It's permanent. The second thing is a Christian loves God's law because it points us to Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the third reason that you should love the law is because in one sense, the commands of God are also a promise. A promise of what God will do. So the first thing to say is that a Christian loves God's law because it is permanent. Because it is holy, just. The commandments that God has given to us and revealed, they are the same yesterday, today, and forever. The law of God doesn't change. Do you know, one of the most difficult things through this pandemic has been how the regulations and guidance has changed from week to week. I'm not criticizing the government. They've got a very difficult task, but I'm sure as many of you will have found at work, we've found as the church, we're constantly trying to have to watch and see what's changed week to week. But the law of God, it's been the same from the beginning of the world, and it will be the same to the end and beyond. The Lord Jesus himself tells us in the Gospels, he requires his people to keep the laws of God. A rich young ruler came to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And the Lord says, well, you know, you should keep the commandments. You should follow me and keep the commandments. Don't steal, don't commit adultery, and because you're particularly wealthy, you should give that away to the poor. He called the man to repent and to follow him by keeping the commandments. He also says, only those who do the will of the Father will enter his kingdom. You've got to walk on that narrow way of repentance and obedience. Grace does not nullify that at all. He says, if you love him, you will keep his commandments. And as you heard in Matthew, he says so firmly, do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to bring it to perfection, to its final complete state. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle, not the tiniest marks of the language. For us, we'd say the dotting of an I or crossing of a T. Will pass away till the law, till all is fulfilled. And whoever therefore breaks or teaches to break one of the least of these commandments will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, not once will you find in the Bible the Lord Jesus saying anything negative about the law and commandments of God. Now, he rebuked sinful men who twisted it and distorted it and corrupted it, but he only ever spoke about it with the greatest reverence and devotion. And so too with the apostles in every part of the New Testament. They teach the same love, the same devotion to the commandments. Simply too many examples to mention, but let me just give you one from Ephesians and chapter 6. Paul tells Christian children, looking at my children, he tells them, honour your mother and father. And grandmothers too. And then he says, but why? Because it says in the fifth commandment, honour your father and mother. Christians are to live by obeying God's law, as I say. But then you might say then, if you're not convinced of this, what about all the scriptures that seem to speak about the law passing away? Or the law coming to an end, or that it's changed now that Christ has come, as it says in Hebrews. Well, clearly, those scriptures that speak of the law being changed cannot mean law in the same sense Jesus meant it. We've got to be intelligent readers of the Bible. Like in English, in ordinary conversation, the same word can have different meanings depending on the context. If I tell you to put on your boot, or I say put it in the boot, you know there's a big difference between what you wear on your feet and what you have in your car, or trunk, let me translate. And so in the same thing in the Bible can use the word law to mean different things. Law can mean the commandments of God, as we're talking about. But sometimes it's also used to refer to the whole of the old covenant as a system. So law can mean commands or it can mean covenant. Now the old covenant made with Israel as a people until Christ came, it contained commandments, law in that other sense. But it also contained civil laws for them as a country in their time and place. And there were ceremonial and religious laws for the worship of Israel until Christ came. The offerings, the temple. And when the Bible sometimes speaks about the law passing away, it's referring to that whole system of the old covenant. It's brought to fulfillment, completion, its best and highest state with the coming of Christ. God's plan of salvation moves on to its next stage, and the ceremonial and the civil order, they pass away. They were a bit like scaffolding on a building as it's going up. Once the building's there, you don't need the scaffolding anymore. Once Christ comes, we no longer exist as an earthly nation in one place as the people of God. So we don't need civil laws from God in the same way, although we can learn from them and benefit. And we don't need the same ceremonial and ritual laws because Christ has provided the perfect offering, the perfect sacrifice. There's no need for any more. But the moral law, the commandments, as summed up in the Ten Commandments, for example, they are not done away with. That is the real point that the Lord Jesus and the apostles are aiming at in verses like you've heard. There's been a change in administration. But the scriptures call us to keep the law, the commandments, the moral law, you could call it. So it is a grave mistake, an overly simplistic reading of the Bible to say that as Christians that the law of God does not apply to Christians. The Lord Jesus commands you, his people, to live by his laws. Just a picture to try to simply explain that. Imagine a long time ago, a man set up a business. And in the company handbook, it was very clear to all the employees, they've got to dress a certain way, act a certain way, they've got to treat each other well, the customers well, there's no stealing, there's no telling of lies, they've got to give their best work or be fired. But then the day came when that man handed over the business to his son. His son appeared and took over the administration. And immediately the son updated things to move with the times, to make the business better, you could say. The old paper filing systems were replaced with smart new computers. The uniforms were updated. The old broom that was used to sweep the floor was replaced with a state-of-the-art sweeping machine, and the place was never cleaner. But for the employees, still in the same business of redemption, still the same essential rules. Don't steal, tell lies, must be nice to each other. And that's how the scriptures are telling us. If you can see the picture, there's that kind of change from the old to the new, under the leadership of the Son. A change of administration, but God's law, how to live, is unchanged. The law is holy, just, and good. Now I've labored and spent time on this first point because this is the point where Christians get confused. But the blessing that this gives you and me, the blessing of this, that it's permanent, is it means that you and I, we have very clear instruction how to live. We've got very clear direction to guide us, to help us navigate through life in all its difficulties. The law tells you how to please God. And again, what I mean is we live in a very relativistic age shaped by postmodernism. Where there's this belief that there's no absolute truth, there's no absolute right or wrong, everything's subjective, no one's allowed to condemn anything as right or wrong, there's only this person's truth and that person's truth. And look at where it's leading us. Look at what's happened in this country over the last 100 years. The complete breakdown of almost complete breakdown of law and order, the incredible rise in violent crime, the breakdown of everything, so much that's good. It's leading us into misery and chaos. It is a great mercy and blessing that God has given us his law that's permanent, a clear, unchanging standard of how we should live. And we can know it, not a mystery. He spelled it out, even in 10 simple commandments we can grasp hold of. So this is the first reason you should love God's law. It's permanent. What a blessing. But then the second reason we say the law is holy, just, and good is because it points us to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Positively, the law reveals Jesus Christ to us. You see, all the commandments, they're actually a reflection of who God is. God is holy, just, and good. His commandments are pure and right because he is pure and right. Wonderful thought. And each one of the commandments is revealing something to you about God. You should only worship God and not make any images because he's so holy. He's above all. There's nothing he can be compared to. We observe the Sabbath day because he is our creator. He's made all things and gives us life and rest. We don't murder because God alone is judge and the author of life. We don't commit adultery. God is always faithful. And the law is going to reveal to you this image of who God is. So we love the law. And then you think about that in terms of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the Word made flesh. He is the law made flesh. Because in his perfect life, he has perfectly kept the commandments in every possible way to perfection. And when you look at the law, you are seeing the character of who Jesus Christ is. You can trace out his image and seeing here's what our Savior is like, the one who embodies all of this. But then also, of course, again, and this has been the major theme in Romans so far, negatively the commandments point us to Jesus Christ, because they expose our sin. Romans has taught us that one of the biggest barriers to being saved is our self-righteousness. We all think we're not that bad, that we don't need desperately Christ and his cross. We're blinded by our self-righteousness. The law of God opens our eyes and shows us how righteous we would need to be without Christ. And that not one of us is good. All have sinned. And the Lord uses the commandments to convict us of this. You know, Christians, I'm sure every one of us, we look back and say, I'm so thankful for the day God made me feel guilty. Nobody likes to feel guilty or shame because of things of the past, but those things are there to drive us to Christ, to find our acceptance and our forgiveness in him, to see that he's the one who takes away that heavy burden of guilt. It's the sick who go to see a doctor. The law shows us we're sick, so we go to Jesus Christ. I wonder if anyone here has ever been for a stress test. I've been, unfortunately, for quite a few. And I remember the very first time, you know, the nurses, they hook you up with all these wires to monitor your heart and lungs and everything. And then you gently start walking on a treadmill. And I thought, oh, this is quite easy. I must be fitter than I thought. And then the treadmill, they start to raise it up on an angle. And it gets faster and faster. And it didn't take very long till I'm huffing and puffing and I'm hanging on for dear life. Not fit at all. Now the law's like that. We're walking along through life thinking we're okay. But the more you look into the law, that it says you should really be a perfect, loving person if you want to get to heaven, you realize how steep it is and how weak you are. So Christian, love the law of God because it points you to Jesus Christ. You see his wonderful picture in it. And it pushes you to him, so that you will be saved. As I say, every Christian can look back and say, I'm so glad for that day when God convicted me. And I was miserable. Because I know it's because he wants to save me and he loves me. And Christ takes all of that away. One final thought as well. A third reason why a Christian should love God's law. Because in one sense, the law is a promise. It's a promise of what God will do in us. We're used to separating law and promise, and that's right when it comes to justification. And law has no place at all in the free gift of salvation, but there's a sense in which law is a promise. What God promises to do for you is he will make you holy, just, and good. Even as his law describes it. As we're going to see in future weeks, Lord willing, in Romans 7, Paul's grief as a Christian is that he is not able to keep God's law as he should. He's just utterly fed up with himself. Oh, I try so hard sometimes and I still sin. But he turns to Jesus Christ and the great hope and freedom that we have in him. And he sees that God's promise is that even in this life, he will make us increasingly holy, just, and good. He will change us and transform us by his Spirit, and then perfectly when we enter his kingdom. As we move into chapter 8 again in future weeks, we're going to see it says a Christian walks by the Spirit so that the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us. By relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, by you walking with him, by you being faithful and depending on him in prayer and through his means of grace, the power of the Holy Spirit will empower you to keep the commandments and do what's right. Glorious thought. God does not expect you to be righteous in and of yourself. He has sent his Spirit into your heart to change and empower you, to help you. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. And as we walk with the Spirit, he supplies the power to live a life pleasing to God. So if At times, perhaps even this morning, you feel like Paul in Romans 7 and you're going, I'm such a terrible Christian. Don't forget your justification. God by grace forgives and accepts you. And ask for the Holy Spirit's help day by day to walk with you. You might not see the difference day to day, but year by year, you'll be able to look back and see the difference he makes. And supremely, you can look forward, brothers and sisters. You can look forward to the end result. When you enter glory, the Spirit's work will be complete. And your sinful nature will be completely healed. And by the power of God, you will be holy, just, and good forever. Just as Christ. So the next time you hear the law, you hear the Ten Commandments, don't just hear it as this heavy burden to pull you down. Hear it as a wonderful promise to lift you up. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You hear the promise? That's what God promises you through Jesus Christ. So never give up in your battle against sin. Never be overly discouraged or despair. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You shall. He will make it so. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your holy commandments. Lord, in our very confused world, we want, Lord, to honour and lift up your good and just laws. We thank you, Lord, for the day that we realised how sinful we are, that we have not kept your law, and that has led us to Jesus Christ, our perfect Saviour. Lord, we thank you for your grace. But we thank you too, Lord, that your law is a blessing to us. That it is used by Christ to teach us and to transform us by the Spirit's power. So please, O Lord, help us, we pray, to understand these things. And may we increasingly love your holy law. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.